1 Samuel chapter 15, look in verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And be seated tonight. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you again for this wonderful night that you've given us. And Lord, for the choir singing, I pray that it brought glory and honor to you in the special singing. Lord, how our hearts stirred in the special singing tonight to be reminded of what you've done for us. That you come and took our place and forgave us of our sins. And Lord, if there's somebody in this house tonight that realizes they're not saved, I pray they'd come and get saved tonight. But Lord, as we stand to preach, I pray that you'd give us an unction from the Holy One tonight and touch us and anoint us afresh, for we certainly need you, and I need you just to come by and help us while we might preach. And Lord, we thank you again for the wonderful blessings that you've given us and for all that you've done for us. Help us to be mindful every day of what you've done. Lord, I pray now again for help the one that needs help, and we'll give the glory for it all and save that sinner that's nearest to you. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen. 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 If you know the story in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel has told King Saul to go down and act to the Amalekites and kill them all. He said, go down there and kill everything they got. And he said, go down there and kill the men, the women, the children, and kill all the animals, and don't bring anything in that back. And God had set it up that way. And so if you know the story, you know he brought the king back, and he brought back the best of the animals that he could bring back. And so we read right here, and he has said, we brought the animals back, and that for sacrifice. And that's where he comes into this verse right here, Samuel does, when he says, does the Lord have great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Which one would God rather have, King Saul? Would he rather have the sacrifices that you brought back, or would he just rather have you just obeying what he had to say? But I want to deal with what he said in verse 23 after he made that statement, it's better to obey. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. But he makes a statement right here in verse 23, and here's what we want to preach from. He said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now that word rebellion means an open revolt or an open resistance. Now we know that it means that it is the opposite of obedience to the one that obedience is demanded to. Hey, can I tell you tonight that if you're saved, your obedience ought to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen tonight, your allegiance tonight should be to Him. But when we decide that we're going to do things our way, then we're in a state of rebellion. As we'll see through this message, rebellion is caused by what we want to do. Now let me say that in our country, there was a time when rebellion was needed. Ain't that right? The War of Independence. I mean, we were in open rebellion, and that against the king, and that's why we have the freedom that we have tonight. Listen, the war of what the far south would call the war of northern aggression, which would be the Civil War, we were considered and that in rebellion and that to the Union tonight. But we find when it comes to serving God, there is never a time for rebellion that is right. Never a time. So tonight, let me say quickly by way of introduction that rebellion is described as witchcraft. He said right here, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 18, he said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That witch was doing her thing by some other power. Hey, listen tonight, when you decide to do it your way, it's by some other power tonight. It's by some other direction. And if I do it my way, then I'm in rebellion and that to the Heavenly Father tonight. It is stubbornness. Look what he said. He said, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. By the way, let me say this is going to be exciting tonight. we're going to shout her out. I can tell you that right now, brother. We're going to shout it out. But listen, he says that it is iniquity and idolatry because of stubbornness. You ever been stubborn? Y'all ever raised any children that's been stubborn? Brother Jeff, you ever raised any that's been stubborn? Zach, he's talking about you, brother. That's it. You know. Listen tonight. Listen, when you get stubborn, you want to do it your way. And you're not going to do it somebody else's way. And I think sometimes stubbornness is just not only, it may not be that you don't want to do it your way, you just don't want to do it somebody else's way. And I'm afraid that a lot of times we fall into that, into the course of rebellion in our life if we're not careful in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to look tonight at about four things about rebellion, and we'll go to the house. First of all, I want to look at the characteristic of rebellion. If you look at verse 23, look at what he said. He said, "For rebellion as is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." Can I tell you tonight, there is where rebellion falls into our life at, is when we reject the Word of God. No matter how it comes to us, whether the Holy Spirit and that takes this book and deals with us, or we hear it in preaching, or we hear it taught, or that it's read to us, it is when we know what is right from the Word of God and we decide we're not going to do it. Have you ever been guilty of that before? I'm ashamed to tell you I've been guilty of disobeying the Word of God. Get you in trouble. Let me tell you tonight, there is a difference in disobeying the Word of God and living in open disobedience and defiance to the Word of God. And what I'm saying tonight is there's times that we're going to mess up. Now, don't write that off as your right to sin. And I don't say, well, I'm in the flesh and my flesh is going to sin. I get so sick and tired of hearing people saying that. But listen tonight, you must understand, at our best, we're all together vanity, and we are going to mess up. Don't use that for your license to sin, though. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about when you learn what is better and you learn what is best and you say, no, I'm not going that route. That's when you begin to be in open defiance and in rebellion against the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 1, as he is beginning to remind them, Moses is, about their life spent in the wilderness. And he said, "So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up the hill." He is talking about the time after he had told them that you should have went into the promised land, and they said, "Well, we'll go now." You know, after God had brought judgment upon the nation of Israel because they didn't go into the promised land, they said, "We'll go up now." He said, "It's done today." You know, God's got a timetable for us to do things in. Amen? So, you know, when God wants you to do something, he wants you to do something. He's got a time that he wants it worked out. And here's what they told Moses. They said, "Well, we'll go on up now." And he says, "You can go." And Moses stayed down there at the foot of the hill. And him and Joshua stayed down there while they went up there and got slaughtered. But he said, "You would not what? Hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord." Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 23. "Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, 'Go up and possess the land which I have given you,' then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice." I'm determined a lot of times, it's like the nation of Israel right here, our folk get in rebellion against the Lord, and they don't believe what his book has to say. I'm going to deal with this later on, but some people just don't believe that there's a judgment coming for the way that they're living. I'm talking about saved people tonight. Now, lost people, I don't believe, let me see how I put this, I believe some lost people tonight, I don't believe there's judgment coming either. I mean, they wouldn't be living like they're living. They wouldn't be living like the devil, in a vile life, and a wicked life, and that in disobedience to God's word. They'd get saved if they truly believed what God's word had to say. Friend, if you knew what was coming up in the tribulation period after Jesus comes and gets the church and gathers us up, I wouldn't want to be here for that mess. Well, preacher, I don't believe that's going to happen. You can believe what you want to, friend, but you might as well believe there ain't going to be a hell neither then. But there is one. If you ain't saved, that's where you go. But he said it's because they have rebelled against God's word. Daniel chapter 9, you see, he's praying and that for the nation of Israel. He realized that the 70 years of captivity was about up. And in Daniel 9, he is praying. And in the middle of that prayer, he said, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment." He said, "Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." What is the one common denominator in the word rebel? What is it tied to in each of those verses? It is tied to the very fact that they had departed from God's word. They had rebelled on what God said and the instruction that God gave. What got Saul in trouble? Well, he had departed from what God said to do, hadn't he? Now, there are those that have a little rebellion here and a little rebellion there. And they'll choose to do what God wants here and choose to do what God wants there. And then they'll say no here and no there. And you know what happens after a while? It turns into one big rebel at that point. There's a lot of people that take, how can I say this? They take pride in being a rebel. Baby, I'm going to do it my way. All right, go ahead. There's a lot of lost people out there With that same, you may be sitting here tonight with that same ideology that I'm going to do it my way. No, you'll do it God's way, you won't do it at all. And that's the same way it is in our Christian life. We're either going to have to do it God's way or we're not going to do it at all. Remember what they done after God had brought judgment on the nation of Israel? They said, "Well, we'll go on up. We'll go on up the hill. We'll go on in to the promised land." But it was done too late at that point. So God has a way. God has a word, His precepts, and His law that He wants us to follow. When you drive your car, let me ask you this question. And boy, don't we have to be careful here. I'm going to blame all this on my sister. My sister says that those speed limit signs out there are just a suggestion. And she believed that until I believe it was the Maryville City Police got her one day. And I'm not sure that she believed that they're just a suggestion anymore. And you know, a lot of us were a rebel at heart when it comes to how fast we're going to drive. It's no different with God's word. I mean, He lays it out there plain. You know, that 55, ain't that pretty plain? You know, there's no give me on that thing. I mean, there's not. It says 55. You know how fast you ought to go? 55. You shouldn't do 54, you should do 55. Amen. Amen, sis, that's right, amen. Get out of the way, please, if you're going to do so or not. But listen, if we look at that and we say, "Well, I can do 60. I remember my uncle used to say when we get in 55 mile an hour, he'd say, "Well, we're in 60 mile an hour land now, we can go." But you know what? That's just being a rebel at heart, ain't it? Huh? You say, "Well, that's no big deal. It's just a little thing and it's all right." What about God's word? What about in our Christian life? Listen tonight, rebellion simply means in our Christian life that we have decided to do it our way and not God's way. That's what it amounts to. And so in rebellion, though, we find that in Numbers chapter 16, you'll find that there's a man over there by the name of Korah who takes some men with him, and they rebel against God and God's man and God's other man, Aaron and Moses. And take your Bible and look in Numbers 17. After God has opened up the earth and took Korah and his cronies over here, if you'd let me say that. Look in number 17. And I mean, God had enough. God chose Moses and Aaron. And God had enough. And in chapter 7, what's going on right here, God said, you make them all a rod. He said, you make 12 rods, one for every prince, the head of the tribes of the nation of Israel. And he says, you're going to lay them out before me. And in verse 7, in Numbers chapter 17, and Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. So here he's got a rod, just a plain rod with nothing on it. And he lays it in the tabernacle overnight. And out there's 12 rods laying in there. And somehow Moses knew, and those men knew who they were. And when they went in there, when Moses went in, he went and he looked at Aaron's rod. And the Bible said right there that it budded, it bloomed, and yielded almonds. So in verse 9, and Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the who? The rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me that they die not. And Moses did so as the Lord commanded him, so did he. So I read that to show you that you may think that you're getting away with it, but God knew. God knew. I mean, after he took out Korah and his men, if you go back in chapter 16, listen, I'm getting ahead of myself, but he took him some men. I believe it's 250 men of renown. And got up against Moses and said, you take too much on for yourself. You know, Moses, you think you're some. Hey, listen, God chose Moses. God chose him all the way back there on the mountain when he spoke to him in that burning bush back there. The Bible said that God would speak to Moses face to face. He said, everybody else I talked to by prophets and through dreams and visions, but with Moses I talked to him face to face. So they got to messing with the wrong man is what they done. And even Moses got tired of dealing with them. I mean, at one point out there, Moses, he had come over there and they wanted something to drink, and he'd already hit the rock once and got water out. And the second time, he comes over there and he's mad at them, and he says, oh, you bunch of rebels, must I fetch you water? And he was mad. And so you know what he done? Instead of speaking to the rock like the Lord said, he rode back and hit that rock again. And God let water come forth, but that's what got Moses in trouble. In his anger and in his madness, if you'd let me say that, he even had a little rebel heart in himself, didn't he? And hit that thing. We got to be careful with our heart tonight. Listen, God knew. God knew who the rebels were, and God said, I'm going to prove to them right here who's mine and how I want things to go. Now let me say, we're talking about the characteristics of rebellion. There is an opposition or a rejection to God's word, but then rebels run with other rebels. Right? Does that make sense tonight? Rebels run with other rebels. Go back to number 16. Look at Korah back here. Number 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. So there is more than one at this point. you've got Korah plus two other men, and they took men. In verse 2, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. Well, they thought highly of themselves, didn't they? But notice what takes place right here. It's one thing to be a rebel in your heart, but boy, when you go into open rebellion, and then you're going to begin to work. Now, what's happening right here is he is beginning to work against God's will. When rebels begin to work against God's will, they won't help. I mean, even when I'm out witnessing and talking to folk, I like help. But notice right here that they, when they were going against God's will and God's way and God's man and everything that God had set up, they gathered them up some support so that they could begin to work in the wrong direction. You remember when the children of Israel went over into the promised land and they spent 40 days and 40 nights over there? They come back and said, it's a great land. They said, it is a wonderful land, a land that floweth with milk and honey, and here's the fruit that come out of that land. But the giants are bigger than we are. We're just as grasshoppers in their sight. And out of 12 men that went over there, what happens? 10 of them take sides and said, we can't do what God said we can do. I guess my point is it's easier to be a rebel when you got somebody to be a rebel with. You may have a rebel heart, but it won't come to fruition until you got somebody to help you sometimes. I know there's those that go out on their own, but what I'm saying is that sometimes when others come together, then the trouble really begins. The rebel will always, a lot of times, blame somebody else. Is that not what King Saul done? If you go back and you look in verse 21, he said, but the people took of the spoil. You know the greatest thing you can ever do when sin is in your life and you're in rebellion is just admit it and roll on. Admit it and get right with the Lord and just go on. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for the situation that I've let myself get into. I'm sorry for the situation, for how my heart thinks and how it works. I went down that road and I shouldn't have never went down that road. I just want to get right with you. And boy, thank God he'll let you get right too. Amen. I'm sure I'm glad he's got a second, third, and fourth, and fifth, and seventh, and tenth chances. But there's characteristics to it. They won't help to be a rebel. It is in rejection of God's word. And they'll always be blamed placed somewhere else when called to the carpet. But number two, hidden rebellion will always manifest. Listen to me now. Hidden rebellion will always manifest itself. There are those who are a rebel at heart, but paint theirself as one that's following God. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 24 said, he that hateth disassembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fire, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. I had a preacher friend that always used to tell this story. He'd say there was a lady in the church and everybody always thought well of her. But she always had it out for the preacher. I don't know why folks always got it out for the preacher. Listen, you know why folk always have it out for the preacher? Because he wants to pit me against you and you against me. And if he can get me against you and you against me, then we're on a losing battle right there. But if we can love one another and have you for me and me for you, in Christ Jesus, by the way, and we can work together, we can get something done. I'm determined that's how this church has worked for all these years that I've been here, is that you've been for me and I've been for you. I've never wanted you to fail. I think sometimes some of you think I'm a little too hard. But listen, I'm just trying to keep your family together. I mean, if I'm just trying to hold you together in serving Christ. And by the way, I'm probably not backing up on nothing either, by the way. But look here, a rebel at heart who's hidden will be manifest. Brother Ted used to tell that story about a lady who was always bright and cheery in the church, and everybody liked her, but she was always against the preacher, and somehow she caught the preacher in the basement one day and was giving him down the road before service. And she was always giving him down the road, but the mistake that she made that day was that she had left the door open to the Sunday school room. And it just so happened that everybody in the church come and went by that Sunday school room. And they could hear what was being said. The Bible said right here, whose hatred is covered by deceit, and his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. You can't hide rebellion forever. It eventually comes out. You can't hide it. Actions will be wrong. Words will be wrong. Separation will be wrong. Words will be wrong. Attitude will be wrong. And if you let hidden rebellion go long enough, it'll no longer be hidden. It manifests itself. People can tell me that they love God and want to serve God and want to do for God, but boy, when they're acting like the world and want to do what the world wants to do, I don't believe it, friend. I don't believe it either because God's not happy with that. Don't you want God to be happy with your life? I do. I want God to be satisfied with me. I want Him to be happy with me. Hey, when I enter in, I want to hear, "Well done, thou, well, good, good." What do I want to hear? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There it is. Whew. I mean, seriously. Do we want to be a rebel at heart? Or do we want to be one that's serving God? Second Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 13 talks about King Zedekiah, one of the last kings that Judah and Israel had. And the Bible said, "And he also rebelled," there's that word, "against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel." When the end of the day boils down, it's always a heart issue. Rebellion is a heart issue. Standing against God, God's word, God's work, God's way, always a heart issue. Something wrong in the heart, and it needs to be fixed. There's a characteristics of the rebel, which is being against God and His Word. The hidden rebellion will come to light and manifest itself. And there's always a judgment for rebellion. If you go back and you look in Numbers chapter 16, you'll find out that the ground opened up and swallowed them boys up that rebelled against God's man. Psalms chapter 107, you'll find, "Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help." There's always a judgment, and that for rebellion. Surely you moms and dads don't, if when your children rebel, and by the way, they will rebel. It's built into them from the time that they're just this big. He likes to rebel, don't he? Yeah. You just got to get it out of them. But surely you just don't let that go on. I mean, you think God's going to let that go on? God ain't going to let that go on. In Isaiah chapter 1, I quoted at the beginning of the service, he said, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So then there are those, number four and last of all, that are in rebellion to the call of the Lord. Some are in open rebellion to the call of what God would have them to do for Him. Telling God, no, I'm not going to do it. Even though I know that's what you want me to do, I'll not do it. And God will have you say about that. But there are those that are in open rebellion against the sweet Holy Spirit that calls and draws, and that for salvation. As he stands, as in Revelation chapter 3, and said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, he said, I'll come in and sup with them and them with me. Listen, they tell him, no. As he says, can I come in and save you? And want to be a rebel at heart. And tell God, no, I don't want you to save me. He sent his blessed son so that we could be saved. Send his darling son so that we could be saved. Well, the Bible tells us over there that while he was in heaven, it says that while he was rich, yet he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. He gave up heaven for me and you. You say, well, I didn't ask him to. That's right, you didn't ask him to. He done it in spite of us asking him. He done it in spite of the very fact that we were sinners and folk were not going to love him. Think about that for just a second. Christ Jesus the Lord left heaven knowing that there were going to be those that were not going to trust him and was not going to accept him, and yet he loved them anyway. Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You do know who that's who he came for. The Bible said that in Luke 19:10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said over there, he said, those that are righteous need not a physician, but those that are sick. And that's who he came for. But yet in the hardness of your heart, you clam up on him and you tell God, no, I'll not move, even though he's knocking. Don't mind that. Even though he's knocking. You tell, look up to heaven in your heart and you tell him, no. Even though he died for you, you tell him, no. And be a rebel at heart. I want you to know that Jesus loves you and wants to save you. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house. Brother Jeff, let's come get this verse of invitation tonight if we would. Maybe you need to come tonight. Maybe you're a rebel at heart against the work of God. I'm up here and let's sing that old song, Just As I Am, page 81. Maybe you're a rebel at heart. God's wanting you to do some things and you're telling him no. It's manifesting itself in you and on you tonight. You can try to hide things as much as you want to, but it eventually comes out. I encourage you to get right with God before judgment falls. But tonight, more than anything, if you don't know him, Don't be a rebel at heart. Don't rebel against the draw of the Holy Spirit and tell him no. Listen, he's come to you. You're special tonight. He's made a way to your heart. You may be a rebel at heart tonight, but I want you to know that God can save that heart and change it. Friend, if you've never been saved, tonight is your night. It's no mistake and no accident that you're in this house tonight. And Jesus wants to save you. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We pray that you would help during this invitation. You know each one's need here tonight. Folk may be struggling tonight with rebellion against some things that you're wanting out of their life. And they're telling you no. I pray tonight that they'd come and just get some things right with you and get their heart in the right order with you. And Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's lost, that does not know you. And they're being a rebel at heart and saying, no, I'll not move. But God, would you continue to draw on them and break their heart and show them what you've done at Calvary so that they might get saved. Would you help during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name? Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, church, as we take a red back book. Page number 81, ain't it? Page 81 tonight. Listen, if you've never been saved, or if you're dealing with rebellion, I want you to come tonight and get saved as we get ready to sing. Go ahead.